and welcome to the Word of Life Church podcast. We're delighted you've chosen to spend some time with us today. We believe that today's message has the power to inspire and elevate your faith journey. Before we dive in, we'd like to express our heartfelt thanks to our partners. Your generous contributions make it possible for us to continue spreading the gospel, serving our community, and carrying out our ministry. If today's episode moves you and you'd like to be a part of our mission, we'd invite you to become a partner. Your support has an everlasting impact and allows us to reach even more souls. Now, let's turn our hearts and our minds to the Word as we begin today's episode.
It seems like, you know, starting on Monday is Holy Week. This is day three. But Monday, we were at Fondren with Pastor Hillary. And golly, what an awesome word. She was talking about Hosanna and the triumphant entry. And have you ever been focused on something and like a car, like, you know, I'm going to focus on a Toyota Camry today. And then, you know, you're thinking about buying one. And then you notice that's all you see. Like every Toyota Camry going down the road, it's like, oh, there's another one. Oh, there's another one. Well, for me lately, it's been the word humility. And I can't read the word. I can't read a book. I can't have a conversation without being like, ah, humility. Yep, it's all tied back to humility. And I'm going to talk about something in a minute and a statement I saw recently about how everything either stems from humility or pride. You have to choose. You got to pick one. And we're going to talk more about that in a second. But what I didn't know the other day is when they came in and that they were shouting praise. They were shouting Hosanna. If you really look up that word, it means help me, help us. That's called humility, right? That's an act of humility. Lord, help me. And guess what that gets? Grace. Immediately. I mean, like, it brings so much comfort to me to think about. All we have to do is humble ourselves, and God's help is there instantly. And no matter what the situation, I mean, the worst of the worst, if you will humble yourself, go to him and say, Lord, I can't do this. And he's like, I know. Thanks for coming to me finally. Now I can actually do something in that situation. It opens the door. And I love how the worship team this week, it seems like every single service has led us into this place of adoration. And that's what the word I've been getting lately. It's this, we adore you, Jesus. Like, we adore you. We adore you. And in the Amplified, I was looking at that verse. I've been on that Hosanna verse all week. Thank you, Pastor Hillary. But it says that they praised and they adored Jesus in that moment by saying Hosanna. They adored him with their humility. I'm like, man, that's just, if that's not Jesus, if that's not the cross, I don't know what is. So a few weeks ago, about a month and a half ago, I was having a conversation at lunch with a good friend of mine, and he showed me this video real quick. It's like something on social media that's been floating around. You may have seen it, you know, it's been out there for a long time, but I'm a sucker for things that make me cry, you know. And when I watched it, I'm like, it's like I felt like the Holy Spirit was like, that's where I want you to study. That's where I want you to live for Holy Week, and that's where I want you to live for Easter. I want you to be aware of this. I want you to think about this. I want you to meditate on this. Not just the video, but what he's talking about in here. And so I thought, what a better way to just show you guys a video. It's really short, so let's check it out.
Think about the thief on the cross. I can't wait to find that fellow one day to ask him, how did that shake out for you? Because you were cussing the guy out with your friend. You've never been in a Bible study. You never got baptized. You didn't know a thing about church membership. And yet, you made it. You made it. How did you make it? That's what the angel must have said. You know, like, what are you doing here? Well, I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? Well, because I don't know. Well, you know, excuse me, let me get my supervisor. They go get the supervisor in. So, we're just a few questions for you. First of all, are you clear on the doctrine of justification by faith? The guy said, I never heard of it in my life. And what about, let's just go to the doctrine of Scripture immediately. This guy's just staring. And eventually, in frustration, he says, on what basis are you here? And he said, the man on the middle cross said, I can come. Now, that is the only answer. That is the only answer.
The only answer. The man on the middle cross said, I can come. What a humble statement of just like, I don't know. I don't understand everything. I don't know this whole thing backwards and forwards. And I don't understand every detail about all this. I haven't spent a whole lot of time in it. But you know what? I know Jesus. And he said, I can come. And I don't know about you guys, but like, it's not any more complicated than that. Is there a lot more to know and understand? Oh my gosh, yeah. A whole world. And I'm going to understand and get to know him as much as I can until I exit this earth and until I go to heaven. And then guess what we get to do when we get to heaven? For eternity. Learn more about God. Right? And all the stuff that we feel like we got to know now before we can know him. It's a lie. No, I want to know more about him, but you got to know him first. What if you just know all about him but don't know him? That's possible. It's so dangerous. I see it. I met this lady. I didn't think about this. I met a lady years ago, and man, I had to go repent after this. You ever had a conversation with somebody? You tell them the truth, but it wasn't with the right heart necessarily. I love the truth, and I get excited about the truth, but sometimes you got to like, okay, Holy Spirit, let me temper this. I had a conversation. She stopped me in the foyer, and she was like, I'm dealing with this and this and this, and she's telling me about all these accolades she had and all the things that she'd done and all this stuff and all about Jesus. But the Holy Spirit kept telling me, like, she doesn't really know me. Like, she knows about me, but she doesn't really know me. I'm like, well, what do you want me to do with this, Lord? And he's like, tell her. I'm like, oh, boy. So maybe I did do it in love. But I said, listen, please don't take this the wrong way, but I think you need to know Jesus. This is a lady who'd known Jesus her whole life. But in that moment, I think she realized she didn't know him quite as well as she thought she did. She knew about him a lot. But a relationship, a moment where, I don't know, but he said I could come, and I know him. It's different. It hits different. I meet people all the time, in and out of church. I love outside these walls. It's probably my favorite. I'm grateful for these walls. But in a moment where you meet somebody who has never heard of any of this, and all it takes for them is for you to tell them about Jesus. Hey, there's a man named Jesus. He died on a cross for you. He loves you. And in that moment, they get to make a decision. But what is in a moment? That's what I want to talk about this morning, is in a moment. So much can happen in a moment. Have you ever needed a moment? Sometimes you just need a moment, right? I have taken a moment before. And we use that terminology loosely sometimes and without thinking. We use a lot of words without thinking about what they really mean. But you ever met a group of people and it's like, hey, can I have a moment of your time? That's a big ask, because a moment is a lot. Your time is a lot. The word moment actually means, it means instant. It means right now, a moment. That was that. Now that moment's gone. This moment, that moment's gone. This moment, that moment's gone. I read the other day, it's 86,400 moments in a day. Seconds. But every second is a moment. But man, what if when you met somebody, you looked at them and you thought, in a moment could be their eternity? What if you met somebody and it's like, it just takes a moment with Jesus. Like one moment, not just with Jesus, but one moment of humility with Jesus. Because see, humility is the key, right? And so I want to look at a moment like what he was talking about, the cross. So let's go to the book of Luke. It's the best book. And then if you're new, my name's Luke. Welcome to Word of Life. It's so nice to meet you. Thank you, honestly, for being here. I appreciate you. I met another Luke this morning in the back. I was like, yes, another one. They exist. Chapter 23, verse 33, we'll start in. It says, when they came to a place called the Skull, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right and the other on the left. But Jesus was saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. In his hardest moment, he humbled himself. Did you know that if Jesus didn't humble himself, if God wasn't humility, Jesus would have never came. But if Jesus didn't humble himself many, many times, we wouldn't be sitting here talking about him. Humility is the key. Just one moment of humility. It says, but Jesus was saying, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. And they cast lots, dividing up his garments among themselves. And the people stood by, looking on. And he saved the others, saying, he saved the others. Let him save himself if this is the Christ of God, his chosen one. Notice they are always trying to attack his identity. He knew who he was, thank God. Isn't that funny how the world will always try to attack your identity? It seems like as soon as you're doing really good, here comes another attack, trying to tell you the opposite of what God says about you. The devil's a liar. And it says, they cast lots, dividing up his garments among themselves, verse 35. And the people stood by, looking on. And even the rulers were sneering at him, saying, he saved others, let him save himself, if this is the Christ of the God. Sorry, I reread that, but it's worth reading again. His chosen one. The soldiers also mocked him, coming up to him, offering him sour wine, and saying, if you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. If you stay who you are, you know. It's so nasty. Just the wrong spirit, man. Now, it says, there was an inscription above him. It says, this is the king of the Jews. One of the criminals, check this out, one of the two that were hanging next to him, it says one of them was hurling abuse at him. That word abuse is translated into blasphemy, which just means basically cursing God. I mean, that's kind of what that means. It says he was hurling abuse at him, saying, again, are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us. It says, but the other answered, this is awesome, the other man on the cross answered him, he rebuked him. I want to meet this guy. I will meet this guy. He rebuked him and said, don't you even fear God, man? Since we're under the same sentence of condemnation, we're all hanging up here going to die together. And he said, we are indeed suffering justly. For we're receiving what we deserve for our deeds. This man has done nothing wrong. He's looking at this guy, this conversation in the moment of crucifixion. They're having a conversation over Jesus, talking back and forth. That's real. I mean, that's a real moment. And he's basically looking at this guy saying, like, dude, what is your, shut up, man. Like, this is, see, I think the guy on the cross that rebuked him, man, he knew more than we read. He knew something else. There was just something different about him. And I think he might not have known all the doctrine. He might not have known all the details and known everything about Jesus. But I guarantee you, if he was in the same town as him, he'd seen some things and heard some things. And in a moment, he rebuked this guy. And was like, dude, shut up, man. Like, this is like, I think this is Jesus. Like, this is the Lord. I don't really know all the stuff about it. But come on, man. Like, we're suffering justly. Like, we actually did stuff to be up here. He didn't do anything. And how did he know he didn't do anything? Do you know what I mean? Like, he knew some things, right? After he said that to the guy, he rebuked him. He said, he's done nothing wrong. And then it says he looked at Jesus and said, remember me when you come into your kingdom. In that statement alone, we're going to come back to this in just a minute. But in that statement alone, there's so much humility. Think about it. In that moment, his life changed forever. In a moment of humility. In 2003, I moved here. And if you know me, you've probably heard the story. So just hang in there. You'll hear it again. But when I moved here in 2003, I'd come out of a really bad situation in life. And I was getting back on track. Thank God for his mercy and grace and leading. But I barely knew Jesus. I kind of knew him, you know, but I didn't really know him, had no relationship. And I can remember meeting my wife, and she invited us to come to Word of Life with her parents here, and we started coming, and I got filled with the Holy Spirit. absolutely game changer, right? And I didn't even know there was a Holy Spirit. I was one of those that they met, like in the book of Acts. Hey, have you met the Holy Spirit since you've been saved? Nope, didn't even know there was one. Met him, changed my life. And I heard this verse that, like, when I got filled with the Holy Spirit, I started studying about the Holy Spirit. It's something just changed in me. I couldn't get enough word. I wanted more word. I wanted to know more about him and this thing that I had discovered now that has been available my whole life. I just didn't say yes to it and didn't have anybody really around me that knew anything about it. And so in John chapter 14, you don't have to turn there, but it says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. Now, that verse has stuck with me, and I use that. Does anybody have, like, trouble remembering things sometimes? Come on. Anybody? No, it's all right. Well, if you're like me, which I hope you're not, because remember that commercial in the 80s where they had the egg? And they were saying, like, this is your brain. And then they crack the egg, put it in a frying pan, and this is your brain on drugs. That was me. I won't go into a whole lot more detail. Just give you a scenario. But when you do that to your brain, you put chemicals in there, it can do some damage. It can cause you to not be able to remember things, literally, and just, like, miss whole years and decades sometimes. Well, that's where I lived for a long time. I mean, I was okay, I was functioning, but there was so much I couldn't remember about my life. And I remember reading this scripture, and I'm like, all right, Holy Ghost, if you're real, you said you would remind me. And what I started doing was hear people share their testimonies of, like, when they met Jesus. I'm like, I want one of those. Like, I know you, Jesus, but I want that moment. Because in a moment, it could be your eternity. And I was like, I just want that moment, Jesus. I want that moment. Can I have that back? So a few weeks went by, and I'll never forget. The Holy Spirit is like riding down the road. He's like, you should call your mom. I'm like, oh, she's doing all right. I just talked to her like last week. He's like, no, you should call your mom. I thought, oh, I wonder if this is tied to that, like what I asked for. And so I just called my mom, and I said, hey, mom, I didn't want to tell her everything because I was scared to death, and be like how bad my brain really was. But she knows everything now, so it's all good. A few weeks ago, I got to share my testimony somewhere else, not here, and I shared a whole bunch of my testimony I never shared before in public, so I had to call my mom after on the way home. I'm like, Mom, it's all good. You know what I'm saying? Like, calm down. There's parts of it I didn't share. She didn't even know, but she's merciful, and it's all under the blood, so it's fine. But I said, do you remember when I got saved? And she's like, yeah, absolutely. I was like, when was it? I mean, I'm like leaning in because I had no recollection of that moment. She was like, you were 10 on Thomasville Road Baptist Church. And I mean, as soon as she said that, it was like this download, like the bar just shoo, and it all came back in a moment. And I was like, I remember. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus, for reminding me. What a special moment to remember, right? And I remembered they were doing this Easter cantata during Holy Week. Holy Week's pretty special to me. And they did this death, burial, and resurrection reenactment, like a play. And I remember sitting in that section in the very back, like on the fourth or fifth end of the pew, right on the end, and Jesus busted through that door with the Roman soldiers and him carrying a cross and them cracking the whips and blood coming down his face with a crown of thorns. I mean, it was awesome. Like the whole theatrical, I mean, it was done better than you could ever do it. It was just awesome. Cool church. And as Jesus, I was kind of scared as a 10-year-old. I'm looking to my right. I'm like, he's going to get right next to me. Like, here he comes. Like, he's going to get down the aisle. And I'm not looking. All these details came back to me immediately. And he got right up next to me. And I turned my head. And I just, like, glanced at him. And he was looking right at me. We connected eyes. And for a 10-year-old, it couldn't have been more powerful. That had been Jesus himself. But honestly, I believe it was Jesus himself, because a testimony is only a testimony because you're testifying of the goodness of God and what the Holy Spirit did in your life and how he moved. And that's the power of a testimony. See, when you share a testimony, it has the same power to save that it did to save you. That's why testimonies are so powerful. In Revelation 12 and 11, it says they overcame the devil by the word, by the blood of the Lamb, and the word of your testimony. And if it compares our testimony, what God's done in our life, to the blood of Jesus, that's pretty powerful. So this dude carrying a cross with a crown of thorns on his head, even though it was all fake blood and makeup, he was testifying about what Jesus had done. So in that moment, the same saving power that saved him, that made him want to testify and carry a cross. You know, you can testify in other ways other than just your mouth. What if your life was a testimony? Like the way you lived it now. Not just then, but every day. It is. People are watching your testimony. That's convicting. But met this Jesus on this cross, carrying this cross, and in a moment, I humbled myself. And I can remember the ride home. And I remember we were in a Ford Aerostar van. God, awful, ugly van. They should never made those. And it was blue and white. But I remember talking to my mom and saying, look, you know, it's like watching The Passion of the Christ in the theater on the way home. It's real quiet. You don't talk a whole lot. It's heavy. It's weighty. Because you've just come to the reality of the weight of sin that Jesus took on the cross. That's weighty. It's weighty. And I said, I don't know what happened tonight. I don't know exactly all about what that was, but I feel like I need that. And in a moment of humility, I felt like I was saved right then. It wasn't when I just looked at him. That was the introduction. But I had to humble myself. Because when you humble yourself, you get grace. And guess what? We are saved by grace through faith. In a moment of humility, I received Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I didn't understand all that at 10 years old, but I received him as my Savior. And I believe if we'd have died on the way home that night in a car wreck, I'd have went to heaven. So we prayed the prayer and, you know, did all the stuff. And then went and saw the pastor and had an official sit-down meeting with him in the big office. And he gave me some coloring books and stuff, you know. And got baptized a couple weeks later. And that was about it. And then I ran from Jesus for 15 years. But I always had that moment somewhere on the inside. But in a moment, he reminded me of that moment with Jesus in my life. I'm so grateful for the Holy Spirit. Like there's just not words to explain how grateful. But so let's go back to Luke. I want to look at this again. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And we'll just start in 39. One of the criminals who were hanged there was hurling abuse and saying to him, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself." He was judgmental. He was critical. He was harsh. Wrong spirit. But the other one answered and said, rebuking him, "Man, dude, stop. You don't even know what you're doing. Did you not just hear Jesus say, forgive them, for they don't even know what they're doing?" I think maybe that guy on the cross heard that and was like, "He forgave me? What?" And like, you know, I think his wheels were clicking. I don't know all this, and it doesn't say that, but like, let's speculate a little bit, you know? This is how I read the Bible, by the way. You just kind of go with it. Let the Holy Spirit show you and lead you. And then he said, "Don't you even fear God?" He said, "Man, we're up here under the same sentence of condemnation." Those men were hanging in their sentence and in their condemnation, serving their penalty for what they deserved. And in that moment, Jesus looks at this man after he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." In verse 43, he said to him, "Truly, I say to you, today, you shall be with me in paradise." And in a moment, it says, Jesus, in the sixth hour, darkness fell over the whole land until the ninth hour, because the sun was obscured and the veil of the temple was torn. And Jesus, crying out with a loud voice, said, "Father, into your hands, I commit my life, my spirit. And he said, having said this, he breathed his last breath. Whew. That's like the best verse. It's weighty, but isn't that the best? It's like, without that, there's nothing. You know, without this sacrifice, without this moment of humility. I mentioned humility earlier, and I got this book. Somebody, my friend who sent me that video, showed me this book too, and I started devouring this thing. It's just called Humility. It's by Andrew Murray. He also wrote a book called Absolute Surrender. Whew, that's a big one too. They're all small books, but they're big books. Does that make sense? It's not one you just want to fly through. I tried to listen to this one on audio, and I'm like, I got to get the book. You got to just get the book. But I'm going to read an excerpt in here about humility. He says, without humility, there can be no true dwelling in God's presence. Now listen, let this sink in. Without humility, there can be no true dwelling in God's presence or enjoying his favor and the power of his spirit. Without humility, there is no faith, love, joy, or strength demonstrated in our lives. It all starts with humility. He goes on to say, humility is the only, this is my favorite part, humility is the only soil in which the graces take root. The lack of humility is the reasonable explanation for every defect and failure in the Christian life, for the lack of humility. That's a pretty bold statement. Humility is not so much a blessing or attribute along with the others. It is the root of all. It's not just like a gift. It's not just like, it doesn't, you don't throw it in there with everything else. It stands above everything. Because without it, nothing else can flow. Because when you humble yourself, it's like you saying, not my will, but your will. The greatest act, well, one of the greatest acts of humility, Jesus in the garden. He had to humble himself to submit to that will. There is no submission without humility either. Like you can submit to somebody, but like if you don't humble yourself, you're not going to submit. You have to humble yourself and be like, not me. This is not about me. Humility is just getting your face or your focus off of you and onto others and onto Jesus. Humility is just so radically powerful in your life. There's not a single situation you will ever face. This is a big statement, Holy Ghost. You sure you want me to say this? There's not a single situation that you're going to face in your life that humility won't fix. And that humility won't open the door to grace stepping in to that situation. No matter what it is. That's the cross. Like, I find so much comfort in knowing that all I have to do is humble myself. It's like, yeah. You get frustrated, you get angry. I know none of you guys do that. But you get frustrated, you get angry, you get mad, and have a legitimate reason to. Like a reason. As a believer, what we have a right to is humility, though. We don't have a right to be angry anymore once we give our life to Jesus. It changes. It switches because we switch over to a whole different set of the way we act and what we do. You don't have to choose it, though. It's just it's free will. Like God's given you this opportunity to humble yourself. I find myself so frustrated sometimes and angry and this and that and all these different things and emotional. And I'm like, you have a reason to be mad. You have a reason to do this, a reason to do that. And the Holy Spirit's like, whenever you're ready, whenever you get done feeling sorry for yourself, humble yourself. And he's so patient. Grown adults act like 3-year-olds on the floor kicking and screaming sometimes. I do. I'm just being honest. Like, I mean, I want to get on the kitchen floor and kick and scream, but that's basically what it is. And the Holy Spirit's like, whenever you get done, you're going to hurt yourself if you don't stop. You ever seen a parent tell you, you're going to hurt yourself if you don't stop? It's true. You're not just going to hurt yourself. You're going to hurt everybody else around you. That's the beauty of humility. You humble yourself and it affects everything. It's like dropping one drop of red food coloring in a whole bowl of water. It just permeates everything. Everything has to either change or leave. That's the options. I love acting out of humility. I don't do it enough. I mean, I'm still growing, thank God, in all of this. But I love coming into a situation and acting in with humility when it doesn't warrant it in the natural. You find a situation where everything in the natural says you deserve to act that way. You deserve to be upset. You deserve to be angry. You deserve all these things. And then you come in and you humble yourself. And you're like, you are the one to go apologize when they've done you wrong. You ever done that? It's so fun. It's not easy. But isn't it so much fun when somebody's done you wrong and you pursue them? You pursue the fix. Jesus can clean a mess up so fast. I mean, we're all here. I'm just saying. Nobody's perfect, right? Thank you, Jesus. I'm so grateful for humility and the choice of it. I wrote this down. A moment of humility will always be followed by grace, but a moment of pride will always be followed by a fall. Humility is not easy, but it's always the answer as a believer. Pride is easy. Pride is of the flesh, and it will always be easier than humility. And so if you find yourself in a moment where you're like, you know, just running away with your emotions and letting them take you, slow down, because you might be in pride, but you may have every reason to be there. But you still may be in pride. Pride is tricky. Pride is sneaky. It's deception. And it's very deceptive. It wants to make you think you're being humble. It's called false humility. And I won't even get into that. That's a whole like 12-week series, you know. Yeah. Let's look at James 4 and 6. And worship team, you guys can come on back up, because I want to adore him some more. He's so good. I got home yesterday and I was telling Kelly, she's like, how was Holy Week this morning, you know, at Poindexter? And I was like, oh, I just got wrecked. And just like, and that word adoration came up again. When you adore him, there's a reward for that. It's his presence. I was talking to a guy this morning at the gym, and he was talking about we were laying on the turf, stretching at the end of the workout, and it was intense. You know, it's like a 45-minute cardio workout. It was hard, and so we're getting there. We're still breathing hard, and he's got an Apple Watch on, and he got a text from his wife says, "Hey, can you pick up a dozen donuts on the way home?" And I'm like, "Man, you got another workout, buddy. Like to not eat those donuts on the way home—that's a whole another workout in itself." But isn't it funny how we're always growing, we're always learning, we're always getting better and getting stronger, and there's always opportunities to grow. There's always an opportunity to grow in him and to grow in humility. And I was telling Kelly, you know, I just was like, oh, it's just so good and so rich, and the worship team just so led us into this place of adoration, which they do so well. In James 4 and 6, it says, but he gives us more and more grace. Thank you, Jesus. Through the power of the Holy Spirit to defy sin and to live an obedient life that reflects both our faith and our gratitude for our salvation. Therefore, it says, God is opposed to the proud and haughty, funny word, but continually gives the gift of grace to the humble who turn away from self-righteousness. I love the Amplified. They kind of like, they stick it, the knife in, and then they just twist it sometimes, you know. Yeah. So I want to put that picture up real quick that I saw. This is what I saw when I was reading this verse about the three guys on the cross. It's really simple. I saw the guy on the left, and in a moment of humility, he got grace. But the guy on the right, who mocked God in a moment of pride, he fell. I don't know what happened to that guy. Maybe he made a decision later on. Let's think the best, right? But I don't know. But in that moment of pride, that was not good for him. I don't know what happened to him. I don't know if he died on that cross, because it says, some people say those two people, they had to kill those two guys after they, when they came to kill all three of them, Jesus was already dead. But those other two didn't suffer the way Jesus did. And they also obviously didn't carry the weight of sin of the world on them in that moment. Because that's, I think, why he already died, because of the weight of the sin. But the other two still had a choice. And I hope and pray to God that they had another conversation after Jesus died. Can you imagine? Can you imagine getting to heaven and meeting both of those guys, and the guy on the left who met Jesus and asked him, "Will you just remember me?" had a conversation with the other guy after Jesus died and was like, "Hey, bro, second chances." You know what I'm saying? Like, wouldn't that be cool? I never thought about that before. But like, our life is this. You get two choices every day in every situation. Humility or pride. Humility will always lead you to his grace. God, so good. And there's mercy and forgiveness, and don't get me wrong, patience and all that good stuff too. But what if we chose humility quicker? What if humility was our just like knee-jerk reaction to every situation? Well, we still have flesh, and so I get it. You know, it may not be your knee-jerk reaction, but the more you operate and the more you choose humility, I think the easier it gets. The quicker you can choose it and be like, I know what to do right now. It's not that you don't have an opportunity to not choose it, but it's just quicker. It's just more of a reaction. And so I got two things I want us to do while we're worshiping. One, I felt like the Holy Spirit was telling me about in John, where it says he'll bring all things to your remembrance. I feel like maybe there's some people here today and you don't remember that moment. It's funny when you work for a church and you're just around a bunch of awesome people who've been in church their whole life, because I've heard some people say, "I don't really remember that moment. I've just been in church my whole life and I've just known Jesus forever." And I'm like, that's awesome, but that's not my story. Maybe that's not your story either. Maybe you have a story that's different and, you know, colored and just all kinds of stuff going on in the past, and you want to remember that moment. So I want to ask you, like, you can just do that, or just remind you, like, you can ask the Holy Spirit, "Holy Spirit, just bring that to my remembrance. I'd like to have that moment back," whatever it is. And then the second thing is, well, this is kind of a two-part number one. And when you do remember that, and maybe you have that moment, that's awesome. Hang on to that moment. Don't let anybody try to talk you out of that. When the devil comes, be like, "You ain't talking me out of that. I had my moment with Jesus. It was real." But the second part of that, if you have that moment, is to just to think about it, to dwell on that moment for a minute, and to remember that encounter that you had with Jesus and what that was like, your first moment with him. It's special. And I feel like there's things that the Holy Spirit wants to speak to you about that moment even and show you. So that's part one. Ask the Holy Spirit, if you don't have that moment, to remind you of it. And if you do have that moment, just dwell in it for a second. Think about him and how precious that moment was. Because that moment led you to your eternity. But the second thing I want you to do today is, if you have all that, you have that moment, spend time with Jesus for a second. But then, before you leave today, while we're still worshiping, or even after we get done, you can come down here and pray or sit in your seat and just think about this. But who needs a moment that you know? Who in your life, in your family, your friends, and it could be a complete stranger, it could be the dude on the corner you saw on the way here. Who needs a moment with Jesus? You may not know, but ask him. So, okay, Lord, it's Easter weekend. Who needs a moment with you? Who needs to encounter you? Who needs to be saved, to know him? I wrote this, and we'll worship, but in a moment of humility lies eternity. In a moment of humility lies eternity. And that's not just for us, that's for everybody. And that's what I want for people to have, is a moment of humility, not a moment of pride. Because I don't like the alternative. I don't want them to go not to heaven. I don't even like saying it. Hell's a real place, but I don't want them to go to hell. And it's just that simple. There's a lot of other stuff to understand and figure out, but at the end of the day, it's either heaven or hell. It's either humility or pride. But who in your life needs that moment of humility that's going to determine their eternity? Let me pray. Father, we love you so much. We thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit. Gosh, thank you so much, Lord. You're so good. We worship you. We adore you. We give you thanks and praise, Jesus. You're so good, so faithful. And right now, Holy Spirit, I thank you that you're moving on every heart in this room, every heart that's even listening right now on podcast. Father, I thank you that you're moving in their hearts, speaking to them, bringing all things to their remembrance, those moments that they need to remember. Because I believe it's in those moments that their eternity lies. And I just sense that some of you have been even almost, tricked out of that moment. Tricked out of that moment. And I feel like when the Holy Spirit reminds you of that moment, it'll be like you have a whole nother moment in it that just reinforces the first one. But even if you need another one, that's how merciful God is. You can ask him to remind you of that and then give you that as well. So Jesus, we love you and we worship you. In your name we pray. Amen.